This is Free Thought Radio with your hosts, Dan Barker and Annie Laurie Gaylor.
Imagine there's no heaven. It's easy if you try. No hell below us. Above us, only sky.
All you non-theists across America who are so often unfairly maligned and marginalized and even demonized in our religion-drunk country, this show is for you. I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor.
And don't start the evolution without me. I'm Dan Barker, your friendly neighborhood atheist.
Free Thought Radio is broadcasting.
And the show is produced by the National Freedom From Religion Foundation. That's not freedom of, but freedom from religion.
Most we believe in both, but we work for state church separation.
And our members are people who are free from religion, either raised religious or born and raised atheist. Members who call themselves atheists or agnostics or other things who care about keeping state and church separate and about educating the public about those of us who are here who are not religious in this country.
And we're very pleased that our guest this week, which is a historic week marking the bicentennial of the birth of Charles Darwin, will be the great-great-grandson of Charles Darwin, the author, filmmaker, and science promoter, Matthew Chapman.
And we'll hear the jazz singer, Susan Hofer, her rendition of the song, It's Only Natural, with a tribute to Darwin and to Valentine's Day. So don't miss the second half of Free Thought Radio today.
And before we report on some news developments, Dan, you've been busy, I think too busy. You have a very bad cold. You've been on the road, and you just did a Darwin Day debate this week in South Carolina.
For a Free Thought group there at the University of Southern California, South Carolina. I'm going to Southern California the week after, so it's a lot of bouncing around the country. There's a group called the Pastafarians, which it's this joke religion of the Flying Spaghetti Monster. And the debate is on the topic, does the biblical God exist? Not just does God exist, but does the God of the Bible exist on Charles Darwin's birthday?
And you've been speaking to lots of other groups and college students, and you've been in the District of Columbia primarily, haven't you?
Last week, and in Virginia, in Northern Virginia. I was at American University in D.C. and George Washington University. Then over in Fairfax at George Mason, and then in Richmond, I was at Virginia Commonwealth, and then down to a College of William and Mary, and somebody there gave me a cold. I don't know who it is. I want to thank you very much for that.
They also gave you something really nice. I'm looking at it right here, and it's this uncirculated gold coin
that's from
issued
the Richmond,
by the UK.
The Richmond rationalists and naturalists.
It's a two-pound coin, the 20th anniversary of the birth of Charles Darwin, commemorated on it from Great Britain.
Yeah,
and it's quite beautiful.
And it's really, and it's a real coin with Charles Darwin in the front, and then he's looking at a chimpanzee looking back at him,
yeah,
wondering which one is the smarter.
Now, in honor of Charles Darwin's bicentennial, the Freedom From Religion Foundation has been putting up billboards, and we think it's a coup that we were able to lease a billboard at two of the sites of America's most historic classroom battles over evolution, and these are little itty-bitty conservative places, Dayton, Tennessee, and Dover, Pennsylvania. And it's a very handsome billboard. It has an iconic image of Darwin on it with a stained glass window outline, and it says, "Praise Darwin, evolve beyond belief." And we're not saying Darwin's a deity. We do not worship him. We're saying he should be praised, that people should praise each other and not the supernatural, and give credit where it is due. And we're aiming the phrase evolve beyond belief at that 50%, disgraceful 50% of Americans who still embrace creationism and reject evolution. And so we think that Darwin gets a bad rap, and we want to do something about it. And we announced previously that this billboard went up a few weeks ago at the corner of Regent and Randall Streets in Madison, Wisconsin. It's by the University of Wisconsin-Madison. So if you're in Madison, go see it. Especially it looks good at night because it's illuminated.
And Dayton, Tennessee, of course, those of you who know something about history, Dayton, Tennessee was the site of the famous 1925 Scopes trial, or the monkey trial. The foundation notably also brought a lawsuit dubbed Scopes 2, challenging more than 60 years of classroom religious indoctrination in that county, Ray County, in the schools taught by Bible students from William Jennings Bryan College.
So it was really a legacy of the Scopes trial, because that college was not in existence until after he died in that town. And then they built this Bible college in his honor. And they sent those Bible students for probably more than 60 years into the elementary schools, giving fundamentalist Sunday school curriculum during the school day as academic classes.
And the teachers would just leave the room and let them. They weren't even educating. They were just Bible students going in doing Sunday school.
We took this lawsuit and we won at the district level, and the school board still wouldn't back down.
That was in 2004.
And then we won at the Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals, but the plaintiffs had to leave town at the end of this, but they were trying to out them. It was not a friendly situation.
No, it wasn't.
All.
So that's why we picked Dayton, Tennessee for our new Praise Darwin billboard. It's a 12 by 25 foot billboard. It's on U.S. Highway 27 at the Hamilton Ray County line between Dayton and Chattanooga. We tried to get billboards right in town, but none of the billboard companies in Dayton itself, once they found out
were interested in our business till they found out what we wanted to
what it was about, none of them wanted to lease billboards to us.
And there is a rumor that there are some anti-Darwin billboards or anti-us or anti-FFRF billboards going up in Dayton this week. There's no word on what they say, but I guess they didn't have any trouble.
No, but they want to fight back, you know. Once every 60 years, we can have something for Darwin in that town. And then another Praise Darwin billboard was placed this month on Route 74, about a mile north of Dover in Pennsylvania, the Pennsylvania hamlet, where an attempt to promote intelligent design by the local school board turned into that national intelligent design creationist campaign that was quashed by a federal judge in that historic 2005 decision. The Dover billboard was put up with the help of area members and donations from Pennsylvania unbelievers.
And let's listen to an amusing report from Fox 43 TV in Pennsylvania about the reaction to our billboard there.
Tonight on Fox 43 News at 10. People have a lot to say about this billboard that just went up in York County.
The Lord Jesus Christ created us, and that is scripture, and that's the only thing I believe in.
In the entire country, only three billboards were put up.
It's not denigrating anybody. It's not insulting anybody. It's simply saying, let's recognize what this man did for humanity.
Why a national foundation chose to put this sign in our area.
Well, a new billboard in York County is stirring up some controversy.
Yeah, the sign reads, Praise Darwin, Evolve Beyond Belief. Fox 43 Sarah Arbogast has more on why a national foundation decided to post the message in our area. Sarah.
There are only three of these billboards in the entire country. The location of the one here in our area on Route 74 just north of Dover was carefully selected. This billboard is certainly doing its job, grabbing the attention of drivers. People passing by have plenty to say about the big bold letters spelling out, Praise Darwin, Evolve Beyond Belief.
I don't approve of things like that, so I would prefer not seeing it there.
The Lord Jesus Christ created us, and that is scripture, and that's the only thing I believe in.
Don't bother me. Everybody has their opinion. Everybody has their views. That's why they have chocolate and vanilla ice cream.
The billboard was created by the National Freedom From Religion Foundation. A local group called PA Nonbelievers helped fund it.
It doesn't hurt anybody. It's not aimed at anybody. It's not denouncing anybody. It's simply saying, let's recognize this man for what he did.
As far as location, Dover was chosen because of a historic court battle over evolution. You may remember in 2005, members of the Dover Area School Board wanted intelligent design taught in science classes. A federal judge ruled against the idea. Some worry the new billboard may spark some old feelings.
And it just got all blown out of proportion.
It's going to be talked about. I don't think it'll bring back what was before.
The billboard was put up a few days ago because this month marks Darwin's 200th birthday. It's also the 150th anniversary of the release of Darwin's work on evolution. Sarah Arbogast, Fox 43, News at 10.
And this week, the Freedom From Religion Foundation also placed Darwin billboards in two small towns where the city councils refused to issue Darwin Day proclamations. And those towns are Grand Junction, Colorado, where we're tussling with the county board over unlawful prayers to Jesus.
And also in Whitehall, Ohio, a suburb of Columbus. We've been tangling with the Whitehall mayor, John Wolfe over the city's unlawful Christian display there every December, a huge nativity scene by the City Hall entrance. We haven't been able to come up with a local plaintiff so that we can sue over this patently illegal display, but we're fighting back with a billboard.
And this is the mayor who infamously has said that we are a Christian nation, and here's some of his own words.
Atheists, they're antagonists, and they're a minority.
So it's no surprise the mayor, who thinks we are antagonists and a minority, wouldn't back a suggestion by the council to proclaim February 12th Darwin Day and in honor of his contributions to science and understanding.
So we put up a Praise Darwin, Evolve Beyond Belief billboard in Whitehall last week.
Happy birthday, Darwin. Switching gears, we still have our general free thought billboard campaign going this month with the help of local members in Sacramento, and the group called Atheists and Other Freethinkers put up an Imagine No Religion billboard on Folsom in Sacramento.
In tonight's Faith Matters report, the new billboard is turning heads and stirring up quite a bit of debate in Sacramento tonight. This billboard was paid for by atheists, and its message appears to be anti-religion. Dennis Shanahan, live at the foot of the billboard, and he has the big picture for us. Dennis.
Well, Jaime, this billboard, which definitely has people talking here in Sacramento, went up just a few days ago. It's the work of a group out of Madison, Wisconsin, wanting to raise awareness about the views of non-believers.
Imagine there's no heaven.
This line from the well-known John Lennon song is now visible to 53,000 cars a day on Folsom Boulevard in East Sacramento. The estimated $2,000 monthly price tag paid for by a group called the Freedom From Religion Foundation.
And they're basically based on the separation of church and state.
Paul Story is one of the sign's local supporters. He points to surveys that show about 14% of the U.S. population identifies itself as atheist or non-religious.
So you're talking a sizable chunk of the country, right, who actually has the belief like we're talking about now, where religion does not really have a place in their minds or hearts.
But to those whose hearts believe in God, the sign provokes a different set of deeply felt emotions.
Wow, I couldn't believe it.
Dr. Robert Hulbert runs Power In Chiropractic, which almost sits in the shadow of the new billboard.
It's actually a shame. I know we got freedom of speech, but I was thinking about putting a big billboard up, big picture of Jesus up there, and then, you know, get a donation together, and then we'll support that one.
From both sides of the debate tonight, we heard an acknowledgement that the moon rises on believer and non-believer alike.
So I can be open and say, hey, I'm an atheist, and everybody can accept me without, prejudice.
But of course, accepting the atheist is not the same as liking the message.
I'm Dan Barker with Annie Laurie Gaylor for Free Thought Radio. We'll be back to hear Susan Hofer sing a natural love song and to talk with the great-great-grandson of Charles Darwin.
Find out more about Free Thought Radio and the Freedom From Religion Foundation at ffrf.org or phone 1-800-335-4021. This is Free Thought Radio. It ain't necessarily so. This is Free Thought Radio.
I'm Dan Barker with Annie Laurie Gaylor. We're celebrating the bicentennial of the birth of Charles Darwin on February the 12th, 1809.
And now we're going to feature a song with talented Madison, Wisconsin jazz vocalist Susan Hofer singing something that was written by Dan, my co-host, called It's Only Natural. Dan, what was the genesis? What inspired this song?
I was reading a book by Richard Dawkins, Unweaving the Rainbow, in which he makes a plea to integrate more science into the arts. And I thought, what a better way to do it than to talk about love, and especially on Valentine's Day, about the natural aspect of love, and you'll hear what she says to the lyrics of this song.
Thanks to Galileo for showing us our humble place in outer space. And thanks to Mr. Darwin for showing us the origin of the human race. Which means that our precious romance is mainly a product of chance, and these feelings of love so frenetic are just genetic. If something natural that I would want you. It's only natural that you want me. A million years of evolution had its way, so we can blame it on our parents' DNA. I move instinctively in your direction. Somehow you signal me to turn and see. You will always be my natural selection. As a voluntary choice, naturally.
That's Susan Hofer singing the song It's Only Natural, John Lombardo on the drums, Francis Deck on the bass, and our member, Rob Shepherd, who's playing the saxophone. It's Only Natural That I Would Want You.
And we are going to be coming up after this break with guest Matthew Chapman, the great-great-grandson of Charles Darwin. And why don't we listen to a little more of the song while we go out?
It's only natural that you want me.
Find out more about Free Thought Radio and the Freedom From Religion Foundation at FFRF.org or phone 1-800-335-4021. Protect the First Amendment. It protects you. This is Free Thought Radio.
I'm Dan Barker with Annie Laurie Gaylor for Free Thought Radio. And we thought this week, this month, while we're celebrating the bicentennial of the birth of Charles Darwin, this would be the perfect time to invite back onto our show, onto Free Thought Radio, the great-great-grandson of Charles Darwin. His name is Matthew Chapman. Matthew was born in England. His books include Trials of the Monkey, an accidental memoir, in part about his visit to Dayton, Tennessee, the home of the Scopes trial. And he also covered the Dover Intelligent Design trial. He wrote that book that we talked about on the last show. It's called 40 Days and 40 Nights, Darwin, Intelligent Design, God, OxyContin, and Other Oddities on Trial in Pennsylvania. He's also directed 3 films, he's produced 4 films, and he's written or co-written a number of movie scripts. And we understand he's currently preparing to direct his own script. It's called The Ledge, a philosophical thriller with an atheist hero. Now, that sounds interesting. We should talk about that with him.
Well, welcome back to Free Thought Radio, Matthew.
Thank you.
And what does it feel like to know that your great-great-grandfather has had its 200th birthday this week?
Well, that feels okay.
You didn't exactly sit on his knee as a baby, though, did you?
No, exactly. I mean, it's a kind of... I always feel a little embarrassed doing this sort of thing. I feel like... I mean, I have my own feelings about English royalty. And when you look at Prince Charles, and he looks... Well, he always looks kind of vaguely embarrassed. And my theory is he's embarrassed because he's saying, well, you know, it's just an accident at birth. You know? Why am I getting all this attention? So, I mean, it's just a... It's just a funny accident, but I mean, it has, of course, affected my life and put me into areas that deal with the modern relevance of evolution and science.
Well, you made your pilgrimages to Dayton and Dover, for example, and wrote books about it. What did you learn?
Well, I mean, I learned that this is a very peculiar country that I live in. And, you know, it's. I think it would be fairly accurate to say that never in the history of human beings has so much evidence been ignored by so many people who know so little about what they're ignoring or disputing? I mean, the theory of evolution now and natural selection is so well confirmed by science, by genetics, that to have almost 50%, I mean, sort of people dispute exactly what it is, but, you know, half of Americans
mm-hmm. That's right.
dispute it. I don't think there's an example of any other thing in modern culture where so much evidence is disputed for so little reason. It's really peculiar.
Well, it's the Book of Genesis, basically. But in England, I'm holding in my hand right now a 2-pound coin produced by the Royal Mint in England, which unabashedly, unembarrassedly, is promoting Darwin. Darwin 2009, and it's got a picture of him with his cousin, a chimpanzee, on the front. And what's the chances of that happening on this side of the pond?
Zero, I would think. Yeah, no, it's a very odd thing. And I think this to me is the most interesting aspect of the whole thing, because I can't imagine that one thing like that, one aspect of not believing something in spite of evidence, this kind of disregard for evidence, I can't believe that doesn't spill over into other things and become part of the way in which people cast their votes or think about mm-hmm. issues, is that you just simply ignore evidence and go with your faith, your feeling, your gut, whatever it is. And there may be a lot of things in modern life, a lot of issues in modern life are tilted one direction or the other by this kind of thinking or lack of thinking.
I think it's very dangerous for our country to have this kind of mass delusion or mass pool of ignorance.
I think this is the biggest concrete example of that, and it is really fascinating.
Now, unlike Australia, which was settled by the reject convicts of England, this continent was settled from Europe by the rejected Puritans. And there's that old joke, the Puritans loved religious freedom so much that they kept it all to themselves. And so maybe we're still part of that legacy of this kind of theocratic mindset.
I guess, and I mean, there is also this other theory that, the preachers that came to, that sort of a part of the American culture, they don't have the same kind of educational requirements that the preachers in Europe have. And so they never really got the sophistication to be able to sort of wriggle around the truth of evolution and incorporate it into religion.
Oh, that's interesting. The fundamentalists, you mean? They don't have those educational requirements. The liberal
I was down in Tennessee, I remember coming across a preacher, and I said, where did you... He was haranguing me at the time. And I said, where did you get your degree? And he said, I went to knee school, by which he meant that he just hung around the church kneeling and listening until he felt equipped to jump up and start his own spiel.
And it works.
It works, yeah. And of course, the other theory I have about this is that in Europe, the churches tend to be organized, and I think there's kind of a financial infrastructure. Whereas in America, you're sort of dependent upon your flock to support you. And you have to kind of compete with other churches. And that to have a battle, something that appears to be like a major controversy that you can take one side on, is a very good way of raising funds. We're under attack by this, or we're under attack from that, we must have your money. It's easier to say that than, I need a new flat screen TV.
Now, when you were down in Dayton, Tennessee, how did you feel? Did you feel comfortable? How were you treated?
I was treated really well. I had a great time down there, and I have I have an ability, I think, to get along with people I completely disagree with. And it was tested to the full down there. But I really enjoyed it, and I like the people. I still have friends who call me from down there. So,
do you know about our billboards, our billboard in town?
I think I heard about this.
It's just on the outskirts. Nobody in Dayton would rent to us a billboard that says Praise Darwin. But a company in Chattanooga owned a billboard right there on the county line. So as you're going into Dayton, our billboard says, Praise Darwin.
Evolve Beyond Belief. And it's got
Congratulations.
And, thank you. And it's really very handsome.
And it's not well-liked, I think, in the town.
They're putting up anti-Darwin or anti-us billboards this week, as a matter of fact. So that might stir up some controversy, and that'll be interesting.
Well, I mean, you do see some spectacularly terrifying billboards down there, you know, the sort of a turn or burn kind of thing.
That's right. We wanted to have some alternatives to religion on the roadside. And we also have a Praise Darwin billboard up in Dover.
I think that's the one I read about.
And you've been there, too.
I have, yeah.
You attended the trial, didn't you?
I was at the trial for 6 weeks.
Well, this whole book is about that. 40 Days and 40 Nights. Your whole book describes that whole experience.
Because it was a 40-day trial. Cute title.
Yeah. Well, it was the judges. The judge sort of coined the... the judge made it famous because the religious... Attorney for the defendant, the school board, he said at the end of the trial, I noticed that it's been exactly 40 days and 40 nights since this trial began. And the judge said, that's true, but it was not by design.
Great line.
Though. Yeah.
I guess we could tell from that we were going to get a good decision out of that guy.
Yeah, he's a great guy.
And you met the judge. You went to his house, didn't you?
Oh, yeah. He and I have become friends, actually. I like him very much.
And he's a true believer, churchgoer, something of a conservative judge, but he wrote this wonderful decision.
Yeah. He's a church-going Republican. But just a lovely guy and very, very humane, very decent, very rational, very... A good-hearted guy, really, really a lovely man.
And I like what he said in the decision. I'm not quoting exactly, but that intelligent design might be true, but it's not science.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. And if we're going to talk about it, it will not be in the science classroom.
Right. Yeah, it's so in the realms of speculation and with no evidence to support it.
Well, can you hold on for a minute? We're going to take a break here. And we'll be right back. I'm Dan Barker. We're talking with Matthew Chapman, author of 40 Days and 40 Nights, and the great-grandson, great-great-grandson of Charles Darwin. We'll be right back.
This is Richard Dawkins, author of The God Delusion. You're listening to Free Thought Radio.
Protect the First Amendment. It protects you.
I'm Dan Barker with Annie Laurie Gaylor. And we're talking with Matthew Chapman, a writer, a director, a producer, and he's visited the sites of America's most historic courtroom battles over evolution, and he's written two books about that. One is called Trials of the Monkey, about Dayton, Tennessee, and then his most recent book is 40 Days and 40 Nights, about the Dover, Pennsylvania trial.
And by the way, he's the great-great-grandson of Charles Darwin. And last time we spoke with you, Matthew, you were heavily into a science debate, trying to get a presidential science debate. Can you tell us what happened?
I was watching all of the political debates. I was watching the presidential debates from the very beginning, and I noticed that they weren't talking about science. I mean, there weren't any questions about things like innovation or climate change or energy or education, science education, or pandemics and biosecurity, all these things that I consider to be really... vital. And so after about 20 of them, it was moveon.org, I don't know, actually stated that they'd been asked more questions about unidentified flying objects than they had about climate change. But before I'd even heard that, I had sort of gotten to the point where I thought, this is insane. I mean, this is really, even on an economic level, 50% of the growth of the American economy since World War II has come from science leading to technology. And so even on an economic level, it was insane not to be talking about this. So I was giving a speech somewhere and I spoke about it, and someone came up to me and said, you know, that's a really good idea. There should be a science debate, as you proposed, as I had proposed. And very quickly, I mean, like literally within 2 weeks, I think, a group formed, starting with Austin Dacey, who wrote The Secular Conscience, then Chris Mooney, who wrote The Republican War on Science and Stormworld, then a marine biologist and co-blogger with Chris Mooney called Cheryl Kirschenbaum, then a physicist called Lawrence Krauss, and then a fellow screenwriter, a guy called Sean Lawrence Otto, came on board, and he became CEO, and he really took this thing in a sort of a practical sense and ran with it. And we had two times when we came very close to getting a presidential debate, really because of Sean and his political savvy. We had two occasions where we almost got a debate, one in Philadelphia, where the candidates actually chose to do like a faith forum, whatever it's called, which oddly enough was in that faith forum debate, whatever it was called. There were more questions about science than there had been in any of the secular ones, because of course a lot of science issues are moral issues. How do you feed people? How do you protect people, et cetera, et cetera? And that was surprising. But anyway, we went on and we tried. We kept trying, and we got very close, and we were negotiating eventually with the Obama campaign and the McCain campaign. And in the end, it became apparent to us that we weren't going to get a debate. So from all of the questions, by this time we had almost 40,000 members. We had 30 Nobel laureates, 150 university presidents, all the major science organizations behind us. And we had sort of synthesized a list of questions from our members and into 14 most important questions in science for the presidential candidates. And we sent them to them, and we got a reply, big replies from both of them. I mean, really significant, detailed, well-thought-out replies to our questions and policy suggestions by the candidates. So that, I mean, earlier than, as far as we know, earlier than ever before in history, we had the presidential candidates kind of outline their science agenda, which gave the opportunity for the final debates, which are run by the Presidential Commission on Debates, the big debates between the two candidates after the conventions. We gave them the opportunity to look in detail at what we'd found out about what the candidates were going to do about the future of science in America and the world. And had they wanted to, they could have gone through those responses and questioned the candidates. They didn't. But we gave them that opportunity. And now we're going on to try and get debates going in 2010 and, of course, in 2012.
Now, that would be great. Yeah. But now it's still a big deal this week. I mean, the scientists are looking with some consternation at the budget that's being passed and concerned about what's being given to science. And we also are awaiting some action on rescinding the embargo on embryonic stem cell lines from Barack Obama. What do you think's going on there?
I don't know. I mean, I think he's basically very pro-science. I think he's in a terrible position.
Of course.
In his inauguration, though, he said, let's restore science to its rightful place. At least he said that.
Well, he said two things. He mentioned science, I think, two or three times. And he also mentioned non-believers.
Yeah.
But why couldn't he rescind that stem cell veto?
I don't know what's going on with that. And
because the rumor is that he's going to let Congress do that, and why wait? I mean, every moment is kind of precious, isn't it?
Yeah, I would think so. I don't know anything about that. So
well, people need to keep the pressure up. And then, well, let's talk about something fun, which is this film that you're working on that you wrote called, what's it called?
It's called The Ledge.
And you have an atheist heroine, a hero?
An atheist hero, yeah. It's about an atheist standing on a ledge about to commit suicide, and the religious cop who is trying to talk him down. And quite early on, you realize that what has happened is that he's gotten in trouble with someone, the atheist. And if he doesn't jump by a particular time, someone else will be killed.
Oh.
So it's about it's a moral dilemma that he is facing. And so it is a philosophical thriller. It's a lot of it is conversations between him and the cop, and then you flash back to his previous, you know, to his life leading up to this point, to see why this has happened to him. And I think it's that I can't think of another movie in the last 20 years that has had an explicitly non-believing hero. Can you?
Do you need somebody to play the atheist?
Well, Contact. Contact sort of did.
Contact was really the last one. And what was that, 20 years ago?
Mid-90s, yeah.
We'll be glad. Well, thank you so much for joining us, Matthew Chapman.
Thank you.
And thank you for listening, you listeners out there. All these past shows can be heard archived or podcasting at ffrf.org/radio.
Join the Freedom From Religion Foundation. Ask for more information at ffrf.org. The January-February issue is available. Call 1-800-335-4021 for information. And thank you for joining us. And thanks to our guest, Matthew Chapman. Join us next week for a dissection of what's wrong with President Obama's faith-based council and to talk with Eric Maisel about living well without gods.
Free Thought Radio is a production of the Freedom From Religion Foundation, ffrf.org. Irreverent views, news, music, and interviews brought to you by Annie Laurie Gaylor and Dan Barker. I hope someday